Welcome to another episode of The Wheat Prophet, a podcast where we explore all things wheat. The goal of this podcast is to provide Saskatchewan wheat producers with resources and information to increase profitability and sustainability on their farm. I will be interviewing experts in the field about current production issues and the latest wheat research. I'm your host, Haley Tatro, the Agronomy Extension Specialist with Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission. As combines start to roll across the province, grain is headed to the bin or even the elevator, and grain quality is the next topic of consideration on farms. We know that dry conditions and intense heat can significantly decrease yield, but can also have some potential impacts on grain quality. Today, we'll cover some potential quality impacts in wheat caused by intense heat and drought, and what resources are available to producers to assess grain quality if they have any concerns. While we're on the topic of grain quality, it seems important to mention MRLs and potential marketability issues with pre-harvest applications in wheat. Our latest wheat watch on saswheat.ca is about staging wheat for the application of pre-harvest products such as harvest aids and pre-harvest weed control. Staging wheat for pre-harvest weed control can be tricky, especially in years when the crop is uneven due to poor conditions. Pre-harvest staging is critical to avoid any herbicide residues in the grain, which can lead to MRLs and marketability issues. A wheat plant is considered physiologically mature at 30% moisture. This means grain fill has stopped, final yield, and kernel weight or size has been determined. Spraying pre-harvest products such as glyphosate prior to 30% grain moisture can negatively impact grain quality and marketability. If you're considering applying any pre-harvest products or have not yet done so, check out our website for more information at saskwheat.ca. In today's episode of Wheat Prophet, we are joined by Daryl Bisweatherick. Daryl is the Program Manager for National Inspection Standards of the Canadian Grain Commission. So Daryl, welcome to the Wheat Prophet. I'm looking forward to our chat today on grain grading and quality.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
So with harvest in full swing, grain is coming off and heading to the bin or even directly to the elevator, and producers are looking towards grain grade and quality. The drought was fairly widespread throughout the prairies and yields have been significantly impacted in many areas. But today we're going to chat a little bit less about yields and a lot more about grain grading and quality. So let's jump right in with how can drought potentially affect grain quality?
Yeah, so you're right. You know, as we all know, there was pretty widespread drought. And what we will see in our grain grading is that what you'll see is lighter test weights and you'll see smaller kernels. Which, you know, I think it's important to understand, though, that lower yields does not necessarily mean lower quality either, right? So just because some of the kernels are smaller, they may still be of a very good quality. So, and with that, so we'll also see, that protein could be higher than what it typically is. And also what we are not going to see is some of the diseases that we've seen in some years. So, you know, we're from the early indication is there's no fusarium out there, and there may still be some midge, but we haven't seen that yet. But typically the drought will just be that reduced yield and lower test weight and shrunken kernels.
So what are the biggest potential concerns from a grain quality perspective following the widespread heat and drought stress across the province?
Yeah, so the biggest concerns, again, you know, in wheat, you know, you're looking at the impact of the kernels not filling fully. So you're going to have those smaller kernels, which then you have to be concerned about the shrunken. And test weight is, you know, it's an indication of the quality of the grain, but, you know, just with smaller kernels, you can still have a good test weight. But in some cases, you know, in many of the grains that producers grow, test weight can be lower and is an indication of quality and also is a grading factor in, you know, all cereal crops.
So we've touched on a few of these, but why or how do these factors affect our grading quality? So like you mentioned, the smaller shrunken kernels, how will that affect the end use quality, I guess? So why does it reduce grade?
Yeah, great question. And that's what we really want is in our grading system is everything to relate to what is the end use functionality of the wheat. And so in test weight, like I said, it does give an indication of the intrinsic value of that grain. So if you have lighter wheat, the quality of the wheat, it's an indication that the quality isn't quite as good as if you have, you know, really heavy wheat. But when you start talking about shrunken grain, you're going to have smaller kernels. Smaller kernels produce less flour. And so your flour yields will go down. And so if you're the end user and you're buying wheat to make flour and you're going to get less yield, that is a concern to you. And so that's the biggest impact on that.
So based on like we chatted a little bit prior to the podcast, and based on that conversation, we talked a little bit about high protein and not necessarily meaning that we have high quality protein. So can you maybe just give a brief overview of that and quality protein and what potential ways could cause lower quality protein?
Sure. Yeah. It's as you know, you generally, when we have a dry year and we have drought and stress, the amount of protein goes up, and that's what's reading on the Tecators and the machines that are measuring the protein, and but at the end of the day, you know, it may be reading very high, but you know, what is the quality? So there is the quantity of protein, and then what is the quality of protein? Through our variety registration system, you know, we really try and control the quality of that protein so that, you know, when you get higher protein, and when I say higher, it generally you're in that 14 and a half, you know, protein, 15 protein, it does help to carry the end use functionality a little bit better, and you get, you know, better loaf strength and loaf volumes and what end users are looking for in certain products. And but this year, when we have, you know, we've heard some, you know, reports of readings up in 17%, 18%, 19%, we need to do the research on this year's crop and conduct the, which we do through our harvest sample program every year. And we're going to look at the functionality of the 2021 crop and to determine, you know, how much of that high protein, is it just reading high? Is there lots of, you know, it's going to read 18, 19. So, you know, lots of protein, but does it carry through to the actual functionality? And it might not. And, you know, we don't see these types of years very often. Thank goodness that we don't. And so, you know, there, we need to look at it and determine, you know, what is the functionality of that, all that protein that is probably in this year's wheat crop.
So one other factor that we didn't really talk about yet is hard vitreous kernels. So what do we usually see with that in a dry year?
Typically, we'll see very high levels of hard vitreous kernels, but you know, it's not necessarily just related to a hot, dry year. You definitely can see it in the samples that I've been grading so far this year of new crop. It's been very good, high protein, or sorry, hard vitreous kernels, but we see the same thing on other years. So, you know, typically our CWRS wheat is bred with a, you know, high quality, high hard vitreous kernel count. And then the weather can impact that, as you know, before we get it harvested. But, you know, this year, you know, we've had some rains now. We may see some of those HVK levels come down. But, you know, we have a tolerance of 65% in a number one. And it's also, you have to have some almost like the pie ball or the really bleachy kernels. It's not just, you know, the bleached kernels where they start to, you know, lose some of their redness, they still have intrinsic value there that we would still call those as hard vitreous. So once you start to see the real starchy white in there, that's when we want to start to count them as hard vitreous kernels. So you know, it takes quite a bit, 45% of that, 35% of that sample to have non-hard vitreous to be downgraded from a number one. And then it's zero in a number two. So you're not going to be downgraded anywhere past number two. So typically, you know, hopefully we see lots of hard vitreous kernels and this year, and so far it's been looking great.
Great. And then one of the other ones I just realized we haven't talked about either is falling numbers. So, I mean, we have had a bit of rainy weather. Can you just talk a little bit to how that is graded and how that, I guess, is affected by weather?
Yeah, absolutely. So falling number is directly related to with rain and in sprouting activity. So, you know, we've had a bit of rain, so a little bit of rain shouldn't, now, some people did get significant rain, but we'll have to wait and see to see if the wheat did sprout at all in the heads or not. And it might, I don't know how much we would have actually seen in that, but we'll wait and see. But if you do get sprouting occurring in your sample, then what happens is that sprout starts to create an enzyme inside the kernel called alpha amylase enzyme. And once you start to get that sprouting occurring, that's what's going to cause your falling numbers to go down. And, you know, wheat is sold basis of falling number on all cargoes. But falling number is not a grading factor. So producers need to be well aware of what's written in their contracts for what the minimum falling numbers need to be, and then what those discounts are. And they may not always be written on page one of your contract, but, you know, take a look at the entire contract and know what you're signing and what some of those discounts might be. So typically when we have a dry year like this, we don't usually see falling number being any issue at all. But now that it is, you know, unfortunately rained at a time, you know, when wheat harvest is in full swing, it may start to have an impact, but we have to wait and see what if that sprouting starts to occur. We also have done a lot of research on sprouting over the last few decades, and we know that when you get advanced levels of sprouting, you do get higher levels of the alpha amylase enzyme. And so we have what we call severe sprouted in wheat and durum as well. And so we want to, once you see that sprout start to extend beyond the contours of the germ area, then we're going to count that as severe sprouted. And that doesn't take as much as one or two of those types of kernels in the test, the falling number test, and it can impact the number dramatically. So the tolerances for those are very, very tight at 0.1 for a number one, 0.2 for a number two, and 0.3 for a number three CWRS. So, and if you're in the durum, it's 0.2 for number one and two, and 0.4 for three and four. So very tight, but still very trying to control the quality of the wheat as it's being segregated and getting ready for export.
Perfect. So I think we've pretty much covered the potential quality impacts. Is there anything you want to add to that aspect, or?
Not really. You know, I think the quality generally is really good on hot dry years, and it can impact all the different grains. So, you know, be aware of, you know, impacts on, the canola can be a lot smaller, and using the right sieves for dockage, and, and even on lentils, you know, there's lots of Saskatchewan farmers are growing lentils as well. And, you know, the kernels that fall through the number eight round hole and the cleaning procedure are considered as dockage. So just to be aware of that and how you want to deal with the dockage to maximize the most out of your crops. So
Perfect. So now that we've kind of covered the potential quality impacts that we can possibly see from heat and drought, what can a producer do if they have some quality concerns to potentially avoid unfair penalties when delivering grain?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think first and foremost here is the sampling. Get a very good representative sample of what you have in your bins, and then get an opinion on what that quality is, other than the grain buyers that are buying your wheat. And so, there's lots of ways to do that, to know what you have in the bin prior to going and marketing your grain. And so, if you have number one wheat, and it's beautiful stuff, then likely, you know what you have. But if there is any quality impacts, then it's best to find out what it is prior to that.
So I know SaskWeek actually puts on a grain grading workshop with the CGC called Grade School for Producers every year. So that can kind of help, I guess, learn the basics, the grain grading 101. I know that's a really great resource that we put on every winter. Do you have any other resources that you think would be useful?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the best way is to be involved with our harvest sample program. And that's what that entails is signing up through our website or calling into the Grain Commission or one of our offices, either in Weyburn or Saskatoon, and they can help sign you up for that. We'll send you out envelopes, really as many as you need to. And all you have to do is fill it up with the grains that you want an opinion on. And send it into the Grain Commission, and we'll provide you with grade. In case of wheat, we'll give you Dawn and falling number results along with that. And then you have that information so that you know what you have prior to going to market your grain. The other option too is you can go into one of our offices in Weyburn or Saskatoon and submit samples to into our office as well. There is a cost to that. It's about $50, but throughout the year you can do that. But if right now, right off the combine, the harvest sample program is really the best way to get that information.
And how long would it take? So say if I was harvesting right now and I sent in a sample, obviously you can't predict exactly how long, but what's kind of the average time you have to wait to get that grade?
Yeah, you know what, right now you're probably going to get that grade within, 3 or 4 days by the time you mail it in and it goes through the process here in Winnipeg. But if you're sending it in later in October, when we're getting 500-600 samples a day, it could take, a week to 2 weeks to get that result.
Perfect. And the program runs until when, sorry?
It goes to the end of November, November 30th. But we encourage you to send them samples in as soon as possible. The information that we use, we put up on our website. We also use it for talking to customers of Canadian wheat. And they are very interested to know what the new crop is like. And so the sooner we get more samples, we can start to prepare our composites and look at the overall quality of Canadian wheat right throughout the Western Canada.
And so the grade that a producer would receive from the harvest sample program, how can they use that? So I know it's considered an unofficial grade, correct?
Correct. It is unofficial. An official grade is a grade where the sampling is done by the Canadian Grain Commission. So it is unofficial. It's information, really, is what it is. The information is very valuable, and producers are always looking for information on, right from planting right through to harvesting and marketing grain. And so, if you can get this information and then you know what you have, so that when you're signing a contract for a certain grade, you can feel very confident that you have the grain to meet that. And then, it should help to eliminate issues, at the time of delivery. And but it doesn't help in the transaction. So, you know, obviously bins, the grain within the bins can vary. So, and the sample that is taken at the time of unload, you know, at the country elevator is the sample that is used for the transaction. So, so this official or this, the harvest sample program sample is information, but, you know, and can help, you know, throughout the process, but is not, it's not binding or may not be, you know, as helpful at the time of unload at all times. So.
Perfect. And that would be where a producer, if there was an issue, they had an issue with their grade given to them at the elevator, they could request that third party inspection, correct?
Yeah, if they have an issue, they can ask for third-party inspection or what we would call a subject to inspector's grade dockage, which comes to the CGC for binding arbitration. So that is under the Canada Grain Act, a right of every producer that, you know, if there is an issue at the time of unload, they can request that, and the grain company must submit a sample to the CGC for that grade and dockage. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I think that kind of covers everything I wanted to cover. Is there anything you can think of that you wanted to add?
So the harvest sample program, it has no charge to producers. And so, you know, we encourage producers to take advantage of that and to submit their samples, and they can do it for all grains. So, you know, all their oil seeds, pulses, special crops can come in, and we'll accept those and provide the grade and some analytical data depending on the type of crop it is. So, and we really value those samples and appreciate the, you know, producers sending them in.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today and for chatting grain quality with us on Wheat Profit.
All right. Thanks so much, Haley. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Wheat Profit, brought to you by the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission. For more information on wheat agronomy, marketing, advocacy, and research, please go to saskwheat.ca or follow us on Twitter, where we are at saskwheat.